What do you get when you have one voiceover girl?
Oh, and me. That makes two voiceover girls.
Okay, when you have two voiceover girls, separated by one pond and two perspectives.
I know. You get the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast.
That's right. Let's listen as Rami and Jessica share their journey into the voiceover industry. Hi, and welcome to the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast. I'm Jessica Matheson.
Hi, I'm Rami Santosh.
Thanks for joining us for another episode. This week's episode is a continuation of the previous episode where we interviewed some voiceover friends about their voice reels. Sorry for the delay. That was my bad. I had the craziest, biggest move I have ever had to do in my entire life, and I never want to do it again. And I don't think I'm going to have to. You know what? I'm a full-time RVer now. That's a topic for another episode, though. Let's get started with our friends. First up, Jason.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about your voice reels. You kind of briefly touched on them. What voice reels do you have currently?
I have a commercial reel, a corporate video reel, explainer video, and e-learning.
Oh, nice.
And I did them all through JMC.
What was the reason you decided to go with JMC for your reels?
I first got exposed to them with Gravy for the Brain, and I kind of, through word of mouth, heard that his demos were pretty good, but it was really working with him that kind of locked it in for me. I just really liked how down to earth he was. We just kind of had this connection, and I enjoyed it. You know, I think he's a great guy, and I trusted him. And that would probably be more than anything, was the fact that I trusted him.
But did you look at other demo reel producers?
I did, but I will say, by that point, my focus was a bit more on his, and I was on his website listening to them. And I'm like, I liked the stuff that he was doing. And it was kind of at that point where I didn't know if I really needed to look too much further at that point, because I had kind of had my eyes kind of set on him to do my demos. But I will say now I'm more aware of other demo producers out there. It's just, I wasn't aware of that many at the time, but I don't regret at all working with him. I think I've been very happy with the results that I've gotten so far.
That's really cool. Yeah. No, he did my demo as well.
Oh, cool.
For my commercial one. But I was kind of like you, where I was exposed to him through like Gravy for the Brain, and then learned that he did the demos and stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. And I did some research on some other places as well, but I was just, yeah, I kind of came back to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you worked with JMC on your demos. Can you tell us a little bit about that process? Like what did it look like to produce a demo?
Yeah, it was pretty cool, actually. I didn't know what kind of came about with it. But one of the nice things about working with him is I also did some coaching with him before. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the important first steps is to know when you're doing with a demo, the demo producer knows what you can do. They're not making judgments or making ideas of what you can do. So I think the first thing is for that demo producer to know what you're good at or what you kind of want your demo reel to have on it. And usually you need someone to write your copy. So we expressed what kind of demos I needed or I wanted to get. And then he sent me a list. Well, he first wanted to know what businesses and companies that I would like to be associated with.
Yep.
And because you don't want to have a business on your demo that you don't want to work with, you know, like, oh, I really like that demo for, oh yeah, that business. I don't like them. You know,
so, right. You have to be able to get always, behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you want to make sure that fits you.
Sure. And who actually made the decision about which demo you get made? Was that yourself or JMC or a joint decision?
Talking into it, we kind of broke down an idea of like how much I really wanted to invest and what he thought would be good for me to get into. They didn't pressure me into getting any of the demos. All of that was completely my decision. He was very no pressure about it. And I kind of realized I kind of wanted to spread my demos out into as many different areas that kind of fit me. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, so that was my decision to come up with the ones that I did. And then from that point, then we kind of came up with some ideas for companies and businesses that I wanted to be associated with. And then he would send me by email a bunch of scripts. Here's the scripts that we're going to go through for commercial, for narration, all that kind of thing. And then I went through them, and then I could have said, well, you know, I don't know if this one's the right fit for me. Can we tweak this? Can we move this around? Oh yeah, that's no problem. And then we kind of came with a very rough outline of different scripts that we were going to use. We had no idea where was what was going to go where or anything like that. We did all four demos in one session. And so I guess I just got, I got lucky. Everything just kind of worked out. We had to put a little bit of a hold on it because it was a month or a month and a half hold. I had a sinus infection at the time.
Oh, and, no.
And so
oh,
we had so many times where we were ready to go and my voice was not there. And I'm like, oh, we're going to have to wait like another week or two. And then it was still wasn't there. And it was about a good month and a half before I really was at back to 100%. And so there was a big lull between the two. But then eventually we kind of, we had schedules and he was really good about moving my schedule around and really working with it. Cause he doesn't want, he didn't want me to record when I didn't have a bad voice. Like, oh, we scheduled on this day. I don't care if you're ready or not. You know, yeah. So he, you know, that's always a bad sign. If someone does say, you know, I'm strict to your schedule. I don't care if you're ready or not. We're doing it. You know, so we did it and he would give me direction along the way. Okay, let's do it again this way. There'd be a couple times where didn't like the specific, like a single word in it. And then I would do, like, I would frame that word. It, or like one of the ones was a Dell spot that I had on my demo. He's like, just say Dell a couple times. And so we would do that. And he's like, okay, one of those will work. And so, you know, and we've got through the whole thing. He's like, gosh, we'll just keep going. And so we get into it. We did another script and another one. And before we knew it, we were all the way through all of them. And so he's like, all right, I think I got what I need. And I sent him, I'm obviously recording everything on my end. And then what I did was I sent all those files to him separately based on what demo it was that we were recording for. Mm-hmm. And then he put all the pieces together, added the sound effects, all that. And then he would send it back to me and basically make sure I was happy with it. Mm-hmm. And if there was something that I wanted to move, or if I wanted to move one spot to here or there, he would, that's no problem. We'll do that. And then would just give me another version of it. And that was kind of really all that it was. It was a lot of fun though. I really enjoyed doing that. It was a totally new experience for me because I'd never done demos before then, but yeah, it was pretty painless, honestly.
Yeah.
Nothing to be too afraid of.
Yeah. That kind of like good experience where it was just so nice and smooth. And then like, it was so cool. Cause he would say, you know, I'm not satisfied with your demo until you're satisfied with your demo. So if there's anything, you let me know and we will do it again. And I thought that was just really cool. Instead of being like, no, 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 I'm the demo producer. I know best. Like, you know,
yeah,
it was cool.
He was like that for me too. And yeah, I know a lot of, I've known more and more demo people out there. If anybody, any demo puts their priority over your own, that's a bad sign.
Right. Yep. Absolutely.
Thanks, Jason. I really liked that point that you just made about demo producers working around your schedule if needed. They're definitely busy people, but if something comes up and you're just not confident enough, or you have something going wrong with your voice, if you've got a demo producer who says, no, this is the time schedule, we're doing it now, and that's it, run in the other direction like real fast. Next up, let's hear from Terrell.
Hi, Terrell. So we're going to ask you about which voice reels you have. Which ones did you go for?
I started with the commercial demo. That was number one, you know, and that got me onto Voice 1, 2, 3, you know, so that was how I started. And then got me onto Bidalgo too. So, and then corporate narration was my next one that I did, because that's.
Were they made by somebody or did you make them yourself?
Oh yeah, no, I didn't do them myself. I went to a studio with both my commercial demo and my corporate narration. I went to studios here in Denver. Well, one, the first was up in Boulder, Coop Studios in Boulder. And then I went to Rocky Mountain Recording here for my corporate narration. And I took my coach with me both times as well, because she had worked on everything. And, you know, we came up with scripts and such, and had worked on everything ahead of time. So we did pre-demo coaching, as, mm-hmm. and I had her, I paid her to come with me, to coach me through. And she knew everybody at both studios too. And it just, I was a little overwhelmed, and it was kind of nice to just have someone with me who I knew that just
that
guide me through all this, a little less stress, And then I did a medical narration. I did that with David Rosenthal at GVAA, but I went to a studio. This is a story. So the day that Denver got closed down in March for COVID, we were supposed to be off the street by 5 o'clock. My appointment was at 3:30 studio and so much stress, all this stuff, COVID stuff going on. I'm also a licensed acupuncturist. I was not allowed to practice. We were closed down, and all it was such a stressful time. And I'm recording a medical narration demo and trying to get off the street so I don't get arrested.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was bad. That was, I don't know about that one. And then this year, the beginning of the year, I did an e-learning demo with JMC. And that was a fun one. I like that one. You should listen to that one. You'll get a kick out of it. It's a good one. That was the most expensive. Well, the medical narration and e-learning, they were the most expensive because, the people you're doing it with and everything. So, those are the four that I have. And that's, for now, that's enough.
Right.
How did you make the decision to go to JMC for your e-learning demo?
I'm with Gravy for the Brain. I'm a member, and I listened. You shop around. You listen to what everybody does and that kind of thing. And you read the Facebook posts, and it says hear who other people like. And he and I seem to click pretty well and everything. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, I'm going to give it a go. There were a couple other people that I had talked with. I'll leave them be nameless, and that. They're good. I just didn't connect with them, mm-hmm. And I think that's important because it's a team project in my sight, in my understanding, my feeling about doing a demo. It's not just you out there performing. This is a team that you're on making this demo. And there has to be the right energy going around and that you click and that things work well. And you have a good product, because you can't just have a good time. You have to have a good product at the end of it as well. So that's why I did that. And I'm happy. I like it. If I had the money, I'd do another one with him, but not right now.
Right. I know. You almost have to get one and then save up and get another. I know that's been my process. I get one and then I, save up and then I get another. And
thanks, Terrell. That was some really great insight about doing your demos as you go. Not everyone can afford to have 3, 4, or 5 demos done at once, and that's not a problem. You can always use a demo that you have made to make you money, save that money, make more demos. It's a great plan, and it works with budgets. Next up, we have Venus.
They say, get your commercial demo first. I still haven't been able to figure that out. But yes, get your commercial demo first. If that's what agents and whoever are looking for, commercial demo does show a variety, of your range, unlike medical or e-learning. But, have it produced professionally. If you don't have the ability, I produce my demos. I'm very good at tech, very good at audio production. I have an amazing studio. I work with my coach to actually produce the reads and performance. And, there's too many people right now taking money from VOs in terms of demo production. Paying $2,000-$3,000, it just doesn't make sense to me. So I would definitely say beware of demo producers. Make sure that you do your research.
Okay, so then... You mentioned voice reels, and what voice reels do you currently have that you showcase?
Well, right now I actually I'm just finishing up my new updated e-learning reel, and that I'm going to be promoting at some point soon. I have my commercial demo, which I really, really want to work on. I actually have a few different versions of my commercial demo. I'm working on a medical, I have just so many demos that I'm just updating because, our abilities, our skills, our performances just always getting better. Mm-hmm. So there's no reason I'd want to showcase something from 5 years ago. I would definitely like to do something maybe a little bit more dramatic, like a drama reel or some kind of a monologue. I took acting classes last year in Manhattan and I absolutely loved it. And we worked for a while on our monologues. And so I'd like to do something like that, something to showcase maybe a little bit more variety. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I need to make more demos. I mean, that's for sure. But it's not something I think is the most important thing, is to have a million demos. I just don't think it is. Mm-mm. You know, have a couple of good, really solid demos that showcase your authentic voice, you know. And that's another thing with demo production, is you might, you know, go into a studio, pay all this money for a demo production, and then you can't reenact that same performance in an mm-hmm. audition. You know, you have to know your limits. So yeah, I mean, again, I work with my coach. I'm very good at self-direction, and you could say a perfectionist. I mean, I won't let anything, you know, come out into the social eye until I know it's the best that it can be. You know, someone once said to me, if you're going to bring out a piece of work, no matter what it is, you know, think about a million people listening to that. Do you think mm-hmm. it's good enough, you know, for a million people to listen to this? I mean, you really have to search within your soul. There's so many videos that just bring out these average demos, and you're just not creating a good impression for yourself. So yeah, it takes me a while to make demos, but I'm always changing scripts and redoing things, and have my coach listen to it. We make little tweaks here or there, and so it's a process, and it takes time, you know. So yeah, I would say don't wrap yourself up so much in making demos. Just get a couple out there and just market yourself. I think that's the best thing.
I think also having just a few out there also lends itself to the idea that you don't want to explore every single thing all the time.
Yes,
or you're
absolutely
not going to be good at any of it.
Yes, so, yeah. I would definitely say that for sure. And, you know, listen, I know some people, whoever it may be, may judge you. Oh, she only has one demo. She only has, oh, this person has 10 demos. Like, they must be better. That's not entirely true. Yeah, I say just be strong in whatever niche you want to work in, you know. And because I think if you're working, you know, in an industry that you don't enjoy, then you're not really going to be able to perform to your maximum potential.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, for me, e-learning right now, I enjoy it, you know, and I'm going to see kind of where that goes. But of course, if any other work comes my way, I mean, I just auditioned for this like huge commercial the other day. I mean, listen, I would love that, right? I mean, who wouldn't want to, you know, have a well-paying commercial gig? So, but yeah, demos, it's not part of like a real jobbing VO is having a million demos. I don't think so.
It's interesting that you touched upon the cost of getting demos done. The cost of demos in the US is definitely a lot higher than the cost in the UK. So what are your thoughts on why there's such a difference between the UK and the US?
I actually can't really understand it. I mean, like in my mind, it would almost make more sense or be more logical that it might be cheaper in the US, because I just feel like everything is cheaper outside of England, you know. I mean, I grew up there, right? I mean, I know how expensive things are. So it's interesting to me why. I don't know why. I guess I've never really explored the subject, but I've heard from a lot of VOs in the UK that they don't pay that much to have. I just don't know.
You can have one made for a few hundred pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, more than that probably, yeah. So, it's a huge difference. We're talking about 3 or 4 times more, at least.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it correlates somehow with, I'm still trying to get my head around the difference between, you know, rates here and in the UK. Like in the UK, you have the basic studio rate, plus, but in here you don't. It's, yeah, things are very different. Very different. So I don't know. I can't really say what positives or negatives there are surrounding that. But, you know, I'm again, I feel blessed that I don't have to pay them. I mean, my last demo, I spent thousands on coaching. I spent thousands on studio time. I mean, it can rack up to like $4,000 or $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'd rather say to a newbie, you know, spend the time, buy the equipment, you know, take lessons, look at YouTube videos, work with some maybe engineers, and be self-sufficient. I think that that's my one thing in this industry is being self-sufficient, being able to do things for yourself. So many newbies rely, you know, on all these kind of external sources, you know, to help them. And I say, you know, learn a piece of, you know, software, learn it well. It's not that difficult. And you can end up saving yourself a ton of money that way. You know, put it into other areas, you know, maybe put some of that money into, you know, maybe some Google ads or Facebook ads or whatever you might want to do. Because this way, at least you're getting some return on your investment. You know, spending all this money in a demo doesn't guarantee anything.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't guarantee one single cent. I think education and being self-sufficient is the best thing you can do in this business. And I'm blessed that I have that. I have everything I need here. But, you know, it's not easy. You know, it takes time. It definitely does.
Thanks, Venus. I love how you talked about another perspective, and that is making your own demos. But like you said, it takes time, it takes knowledge, it takes experience, and you know not everybody can do that. If you want to make your own demos, that's great, but make sure that you have the skill set necessary to make something that's just as good as what another demo producer would do. And last but not least, Dee.
Hi, Dee. So tell us, which voice reels have you had made?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for asking. I had heard stories about people getting the, you know, spending all this money on voice reels and either not getting them back or, you know, being, you know, not good quality and et cetera. So I was a little scared by that. And I thought, well, you know, if I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, I really want this to be a career. I'm going to go with somebody who's trusted, respected, that I'm going to get, you know, a good quality voice reel. So I approached JMC, J. Michael Collins, and he was at the time being very picky about who he chose because he's mentioned it in webinars before that he wants to choose people for the reels that he feels will be successful, ones that he feels will have that drive to, you know, continue on. You don't have talent too. So I was very, you know, like, oh, he chose me, you know? So I was like, yeah, so he did. But of course I was brand new. I mean, I was probably only in it 5 months maybe. So I was going to need some coaching. So I took some coaching with him first, and he's over in Luxembourg or Belgium or someplace in Europe. So our time frames, you know, kind of met up, that was pretty good. And, we did coaching, and then there was a point, like I did 3 hours of coaching with him. I bought 3 hours of coaching from him, but about 2.5, he's like, yeah, we're ready. You know, let's go do the reels. And I'm like, okay. So, he of course had given me the scripts in advance, and he or his staff write the scripts, which, you know, then they're very tailored to you.
Yep.
And I told him I wanted a couple that were funny. So, he wrote a couple that were, you know, really cute. One of my favorite ones is I'm talking about, an exec that gets a job at a weenie factory. So that was fun. And the children's one, I get to do flying flapjacks. So that one's fun. But so the cool thing about J. Michael is that he will correct anything that you feel is wrong. Now, I've mentioned a couple times that I have a very deep voice, but I did my reel for him at 7 in the morning. And that is not a good time for me, apparently, because I listened back. Yeah, I listened back to my reels and I sound like I've had like at least, you know, 3 packs of cigarettes before I had my coffee, you know. And it was really bad. And so I was embarrassed, one, to ask him. But he is so nice. He is like the nicest human being on the planet, mm-hmm. besides Rami. And he was like, yeah, just redo whatever, you know. And I didn't even have a session with him. I just redid them because I knew what he wanted. I just needed to do it in my regular voice that's done at like noon instead of 7 a.m.
Yeah, you're right.
But again, I was embarrassed. Yeah, I was embarrassed, so I didn't redo them all. I just redid maybe half of them. And now I go through, and he redid my reel and whatever, and I got it back. But I still listen back to my reel, and there are some that are so deep that I'm embarrassed to, like, put that reel out. Because I'm like, one, I don't even know if I could recreate that unless I got up at 7 a.m. and smoked 3 packs of cigarettes, you know? Because I just can't... Yeah, they're just so deep. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I broke them up and put them as separate little demo reels on my website. So what I do is if somebody wants my demo reel, I literally send them and I give them the link to my whatever site they're looking for, that, and they're all broken up. So that way they can just listen to a couple of seconds of each one without having to listen to the whole reel. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so some of my things are better than others. You know, some are like, maybe I should take that off my reel, you know, but.
Which reels did you go for?
Thank you for asking. Yes, I did e-learning, corporate, and medical narration with J. Michael.
Oh, wow.
Now, he gets big money for those. And that's what he was trying to help me out, was to push me towards that genre. I mean, if I do so good with narration for books, I mean, it makes sense that I would do well with those.
Thanks, Steve, for sharing your story about demo production. I find it really interesting that you mentioned having demos that are sort of adjacent to something that you already do. So in your case, you do audiobooks, so it wasn't a leap for you to do e-learning or corporate narration. That's a really great thing to consider. If you have a talent in a particular genre, it's very possible that that genre and that talent can translate into another. Well, that's it for this week's episode. Next week's episode, we will be talking about what in the heck we do with that demo once we have it. And we're going to discuss a little bit about pay-to-play or casting websites.
Well, that's going to be exciting, talking about what comes next after the demo reels. So that's when the fun really begins. Anyway, until then, take care of yourselves and remember to like and subscribe our Facebook group, VoiceOver Girls Across the Pond. So see you soon. Take care. Bye.
Until next time. Bye.
Thanks for joining us for the VoiceOver Girls Across the Pond podcast. This is where we would normally shout out to our sponsors.
Rami, we don't have any sponsors yet.
I know, but if we did, this would be the shout out. Hint, hint. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast.
And tell all your friends, your family, your neighbors, and everyone else.